Welcome back to John Murphy Show. John Murphy, Donald Jones from the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis, joined by Buffalo Bills General Manager Brandon Bean. Your first combine as a general manager, how does that feel?
It's nice. It's cool.
Don't downplay it.
It's cool. You know, you got your staff, and we went through what everybody's, you know, checks and balances are, and what they got to do, and it was good to. We started last night with the first set of interviews in the formal, and then today was the first height weight. So everybody's got their assignments. It's cool to see everybody rocking and rolling.
How many times when you were at Carolina all these years in the NFL did you come to the combine and think, I would do it this way, or I would do this way?
Yeah,
like, have you done that for years, probably?
Yeah, you always looking, and I'm one of the ones that's curious what other teams do too,
yeah.
And I try and ask. I actually was standing in line this morning at Starbucks and ran into one of the scouts from another team, and I was asking him, because they had just finished their February meetings, and people do those different. And I was asking him, how deep did you go in? How far did you go? Did you guys do all seven rounds? Did you do this? And I'm always curious what people do and try and pick up some things to tweak and make what we do better.
Now, when you were in Carolina, did you ever have to do this whole media ordeal?
No. No, not at all. That's the thing. If you're not the head chiefs, keep your mouth shut and just do your job. But I've been around it. I've seen it enough. So it's different, but it's just really talking about what you do.
Mm-hmm. What is a typical day here at the Combine like for you as a general manager now?
So it's a full day. You know, we do height, weight. Now, it'll really intensify on Friday when O-line, running backs, and all those go, because we'll do height, weight. That starts at 7:30. Just finished that up around 10 this morning and then came over here to do this. But Friday we'll go over the running starts at 9, and, you know, the other drills. We'll end up staying over there for all three groups in the dome until usually you get done 3:30 or 4, and then you start formal interviews at 6. So you try and figure out, what do you want to do in that time? Do you want to walk back to the hotel? That's a 20-minute walk. Do you want to walk to the ball and grab something? You want to grab a bite and just you know, try and maximize your time, because that'll go from 6 till about 10 at night on Friday night, and then come back, maybe get one cocktail and go to bed and do it again.
Tell me about those meetings. Everybody talks about those. They're a critical part of the combine. What do you want to get out of those 15-minute scheduled meetings with these prospects?
You know, you're trying to get to know these guys a little bit more, and we do a lot of film in there. Position coach leads that, and the coordinator, and, you know, Sean and I'll jump in a little bit, but we generally try to be more flies on the wall and watch the interaction. And you get a feel for the guy's confidence level in the film, because he cannot prepare for this. He does not know what plays are coming up on the board and, you know, on the screen. So the position coach is talking through and asking him, what's your assignment? What could you have done better?
You're showing him his plays.
We're showing him college plays that he doesn't know. We've basically, every coach puts about 15 to 20 snaps on there. And sometimes we get through 5 snaps. Sometimes we get through 15. And we're going through different things. Some coaches will go into – spreading out, what was the guy's next to you assignment? What's that defensive front you're doing? If, you know, we did O-line last night, so those are some of the questions. So you get a feel for where their knowledge is, how much they study film, how much they know ball, you know, and sometimes you see guys struggle in there too.
Yeah. Now, do you find yourself having to study a little bit, or even talk to different coaches about different schemes, so that when you get in these meetings, you know what to ask these? I know you've been around football for a long time, but – it's a different when you're a coach versus a GM or a scout.
Yeah, and that's you know, that's why we have the coaches headed up. But what happens is, a lot of times they'll ask them, hey, what do you guys call this? You know, again, I'm talking O-line, because we did. What do you guys call this protection? Did you guys have a Louis call, or, you know, when you had to move the protection, or what did you guys call it? So you're finding out what was asked of them, and, you know, I've had running backs before that were never asked to pass protect. So what are you keying in pass protect? Are you listening to the quarterback? Is a center making the call? You're trying to find out what was asked of them and then see what they know and what they've done. There are some guys that have never been asked, so you can't say this guy can't do pass protection if he's never been asked to do it.
Now, how much does that change your outlook on a player? Because we know college football is so different than the league.
Yeah, it is.
They're not asking these players to do really anything in college but look at numbers. Yep. So how does that change your outlook on a player?
Well, you got to figure out, can the guy learn? What does he know? What's he coming in with? And you got to do things. You got to teach him things. And so you may have a coach that may spend 20 minutes with him at a separate occasion and maybe a half hour and teach him, you know, what he needs to know, or install 3 plays, and what he's got, what the assignment is based on this coverage, whatever it is, and then have him go back and repeat that to him. Maybe do something for a little bit, come back to it, and see how well he remembers it.
with Brandon Bean, the Bills general manager, talking to him on this Wednesday at the NFL Scouting Combine. You had your staff, your personnel staff, in the first couple of weeks of this month, right, for the February meetings. What goes on at those meetings?
So that's the second time we will adjust the board. So we did our December meetings. Now we're back in February. We've seen the guys in bowl games and All-Stars. We've been able to interview some of the guys at the Senior Bowl, East-West, NFLPA. So we come back and we look at our board and we start basically talking about guys. We'll watch film on pretty much everybody on the board unless there's a reason not
to. How big is the board? How many names?
It can vary. You know, we started the other day with around 300. We've cut them down, though. So we spent about 9 straight days all day, about 14-hour days in there, you know, just basically watching film, talking about it. We'll spend 15 to 25 minutes on a player.
Wow. Now, do you listen to the so-called experts and that do these whole mock drafts and things like that, or what they're saying about a player? I always wonder, do GMs and organizations listen to that stuff at all?
No, because you never know where they're getting their intel. I trust the people that we've hired to help, you know, find out what we need to know on each player, the background info, and, you know, we'll bring that. So, no, that's zero part of it.
Your group, you lost Brian Gaines to he went back to Texas to take that job. Are you going to fill that job? Can you get by without that, or what's your?
So yeah, we're just going to wait till after the draft and then look. Sometimes there's movement after the draft. That's, you know, a lot of the coaching movement happens after the season. A lot of the personnel movement happens after the draft. So we'll evaluate our whole personnel staff after the draft. Free agency will have ended obviously before the draft, but we won't do anything there until, you know, the draft's over. And May is kind of a reflection month in personnel. Let's look what went well, what went wrong, what can we tweak. And sometimes guys get an opportunity, you know, there may be another guy on our staff that gets an opportunity to go somewhere higher, or, you know, so we'll evaluate where we're at that point and decide if we're going to fill that.
You said you've had two revisions of your board. How many between now and the end of April when the draft is? How many more?
So we won't touch it again until the scouts come back in April. We'll do all
pro days.
We'll do the 30 visits to bring guys in. We'll do some private workouts. We'll basically a lot more of getting to know them hands-on, literally hands-on with these guys. And then we'll come back, and the coaches will then be able to insert their thoughts into it. We've yet to hear, because they haven't had time to watch film on these guys or get to meet, and this is the first time they're kind of getting into that. So we'll also listen to them, see what their thoughts are on some of these guys, and then we'll look at the board again and reset it for the final version.
Now, once you leave here and you get into the pro days and you have scouts all over the country, do you guys Skype at night or something like that? Do you talk every night about what just happened at this pro day versus what just happened at this one?
No, we'll do some things, you know, sporadically, but guys are running around traveling. March, it's called March Madness. You know, I know it's for basketball, but the scouting world, we call it March Madness too, because you're literally planes, trains, and automobiles getting here. I mean, there's some days, you know, you got to get to two pro days in the same day.
Yeah.
Hey, I want to ask you, we talked to Coach McDermott about the addition of a new analytics guy, Luis Guillermo. Am I saying it right?
Yeah, you screwed it up like me. I think it's Guillermo or something.
Guillermo?
Yeah.
What do you see his role, and how will you use him in your department, personnel department?
Yeah, so we hired him for our analytics and app development,
right.
And we created a scouting system that he helped us develop from scratch. And we started that as soon as we got here, and we hired him away from the company that helped build that for us. And so he will be 100% a football analytics guy, not a business analytics. You do have those types of people, and I think, you know, Russ and those guys have those on board. But he will work with me and Sean and our staffs, and he'll do things to help us in every area, from, you know, personnel to coaching to we'll look at everything. We have not completely filled that staff. We're still working on that as we're getting him on board, but that'll be the role.
As far as scouting, are you saying you could he would set up parameters like you need a corner to have this size length arms, this size hands, that sort of thing?
You can do things like that where they can run, hey, these are the numbers, you know, this is what plays in the league, you know prototypical size, you know left tackle, he needs to be 6'5", and you know all, so you do have those. And that way, if you get a guy that's 6'3" and his arm length's this, you say, all right, give me how many left tackles have played in this league that were only 6'3" and had 31.5-inch arms?
Okay. Now,
so you're using it for scouting right now, but once you get into the season, will the players be able to communicate and say, can you give me numbers on how many times this corner or this player did this on this down?
It would
like
more
that?
Work through the coach. Okay. So the coaches would work. And, you know, it's like anything. Some guys are more comfortable with it. Some guys are not. So I think it's more learning and Luis bringing ideas to us as well as us bringing ideas to him.
With Brandon Bean, the Bills general manager here at the NFL Scouting Combine. And here we are with 330-some players, prospects, going to be working out for you and your personnel staff throughout this week. People to focus on the quarterbacks here. Is your group focused on quarterbacks? Do you like the quarterback crop that is in this year's draft?
Yeah, I mean, we definitely are focused on the quarterback. We spent a lot of time in the fall, you know, looking at those, and you're always trying to make sure you've got, you know, it's a quarterback league, that you've got the guy that you know. And, you know, we're happy with where Tyrod and Nathan are, but like any position, you're always looking to see, you know, are there better options out there? You know, we have to do that at every position or we're not doing our job. And even if you have a guy, you know, there are guys in this league that you hear talked about that have played and been in Super Bowls, and they're getting the same questions. I mean, Tyrod did a great job for us last year. He was a big part of us ending this 17-year drought and going to the playoffs. So mad respect for him. But, you know, at the same time, we have to do our job like we do at every position and, get you know, put our value in free agency and in the draft on these guys.
You know, I posed this question to Coach McDermott and a guy like Darnold, who decided not to throw here at the Combine. How big is that for you, guys who participate here versus I'll wait till my pro day?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. You know, the quarterbacks especially.
They're divas.
at the end of the day, they're throwing to receivers who they didn't play with in college, and you run a 4.2. John runs a 4.3. Mm-hmm. I run a 4.8, and all this, you know what I mean? We're all coming at different. I do this end cut. I'm coming quick out of it because you're stiff-hipped or stiff-legged. You're a little slower out of it. Right. So, you know, I think from a timing standpoint, a lot of guys like to wait till their pro day, till they're working with guys they've played with. So I get it. You know, you like anything, you want everybody to compete. If we were having a ping pong tournament, I'd like to see them all go play ping pong. But yeah. They have their reasons, and I respect them.
How many quarterbacks will go in the first round in this draft this year?
You know, I don't know. I really don't, because everybody values different things. And we may value something that you may value, you know, not as highly. You may value something else. So there are, you know, a lot of good players, a lot of good guys. I've heard, you know, as many as 6 or 7, you know, could go in the first. It's a quarterback league. So, you know, and, you know, if you look, there are a lot of perceived teams that need quarterback, at least, you know, what you read. You know, people say we have perceived needs that I don't always agree with either, but that's here nor there. So you don't know. It's all speculation. I don't know, to be honest.
What's your thought process on, especially the quarterback position, drafting that guy in the first round, starting right away versus sitting for a few years like we've seen with an Aaron Rodgers type of situation?
Yeah, I think you have to take every situation. You know, Aaron Rodgers had Brett Favre playing in front of him, so it's a little easier to sit him, whereas you had Peyton Manning come in who had nobody and they threw him to the wolves. I know Troy Aikman. There's different every team's different. Every situation's different. Some quarterbacks are more ready to play now than, depending on where they came from, the system they're in. You saw what Kansas City did with Mahomes this year. They pretty much set him until he got a little bit of playing time in the last regular season game. But I think you just have to basically take every situation, every team, and decide what's best for you and your team and for that player.
Brandon, you have been quoted in talking about quarterbacks that you believe in the NFL there is a need for, in general, a pocket passer, right? A guy who stands in the pocket. Are there that type of quarterbacks among this group in this year's draft? And can you talk about any of them that you see maybe fits the bill in that regard?
Yeah, I don't want to mention names from a competitive standpoint, but there are guys that do. It's great. You know, you also want guys that can get out of the pocket when it's collapsing.
Yeah.
You don't want statues back there. So it's a fine blend. In this game, you have plays where it's 3rd and 9 and you can't run for it, and you got to be able to make plays from the pocket. And we know how close these games are. Most of these, you look at the Super Bowl, most of these games come down to 3 to 4 plays, and a lot of them at the very end, and you're going to eventually have to make plays from the pocket. And that's why I say you can't just be a runaround guy, but you can't just be a statue back there either. A good blend is nice.
Is there an unusual number, quantity of NFL-ready quarterbacks in this draft compared to recent years?
You know, I don't know that. We're still, you know, getting to know. I haven't even met all these quarterbacks yet because, you know, most of them are underclassmen. But so we're still getting that part of the process. What I see on film, there's some guys that you see some talent, but you also see some flaws. And you gotta dig deeper what happened on these plays and get with them. And that's part of the next phase of this process in March, in April, either visiting these guys on their campus or having them come to Buffalo and visiting with them there.
Talking with Brandon Bean, the Bills general manager at the Scouting Combine. On the quarterback question, you talked about Tyrod a moment ago. You hold him in high esteem, and yet, you know, he did lose his job last November 19th. Yeah. We keep talking about that as kind of a signal, like that's kind of what they think of Tyrod. Can you tell us what your standpoint is on that?
Yeah, but, I mean, I know the quarterback gets, you know, that's the one, but other guys lost their job.
Yeah.
But nobody focuses on that. They made that week mm-hmm. that this guy started for this guy. But it's a quarterback league, so that's what gets focused. It was 1 week, and we just, you know, we thought we needed a jump start. We had struggled a little bit against the Jets and the Saints offensively, and we're facing a tough team, you know, out in L.A., and they showed us how tough they were.
Yeah.
But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, I thought Sean did a good job of keeping the team, you know, in perspective and being open and honest with them that we're just trying to do – Sean's trying to win every game. And I think every – as long as the coach and the players – you know, the players know that the coach is trying his best to win every game, then I think they're back it. And, you know, that showed, you know, to me a lot about the culture of what we're doing that could have easily derailed us because
sure.
– The media was all over it. It was fine in the locker room, but it kept getting hammered and hammered.
Yeah.
And, you know, I commend Nathan. I commend Tyrod. I commend, you know, Coach McDermott. And I commend all the guys in the locker room, how they handled it. And it helped us get back on course. And, you know, hey, maybe it opened Tyrod's eyes a little bit. And he said, I got to focus on this and this. I don't know. You'd have to ask Tyrod that. But I was proud of Tyrod and how he did it. And, man, what a great dude. And he did a great job for us. We would not have been in the playoffs without Tyrod.
What do you think of the free agent class of quarterbacks this year?
You know, there's more guys out there that have had success.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You have to acknowledge that. And so, again, we have to do our due diligence to see what that success is and how does it compare to the guys we have. And that's what we're doing. But, again, we see what some of these prices that guys are getting paid.
Yeah.
So you have to – it's not as easy as saying – and, again, free agency with any position, there's so many things. Price, fit. The fit for him, you know, maybe he and his family they're from Texas and they want to play for a Texas team, or they're a West Coast team, they don't want to play for an East Coast team. There's so many things, or they know a coach that's now a head coach that coached with them, you know, 4 years ago somewhere else. So there's so many things that go into free agency in general, and especially the quarterback position.
Well, you bring up the quarterback position. You brought it up first. The price is the number one thing. So does it come a point where you're like, all right, it's just the market for quarterbacks? You know you're going to have to pay big money, especially if you're getting a free agent quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, you have to weigh what it costs, what it does to your cap, what else you can do, what other moves you can do around it. And, you know, and based on, you know, that's the positive about the draft values are set. So, you know, if you draft a guy with pick 21, which is where we're at right now, we know what that cost is. You go into free agency, you don't know what that cost is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that, again, that's any position. We've had guys before. I know we were pricing a safety a few years ago, and we were like, this guy's a $3 to $3.5 million player. And
somebody
come to find out, somebody else gave him like over $6 million.
Yeah.
And you're like, holy cow, all it takes is one team
right.
that values him. And hey, good for him, good for that team. Just not a fit for us.
I have one more quarterback question, then I promise to move on from quarterback. What would you like your quarterback room to look like next season, you know, at the start of the season, in terms of who would you like to have in there? Not names, but
yeah.
What type of people would you like to have in that room?
Yeah, I mean, you want people who fit our culture, you know, smart, tough, competitive, obviously have the skill set,
yeah.
But the intangibles, work hard, leadership is so important, and all that, the intangibles of the quarterback position are just, you know, they're magnified because they are, whether they're a leader or not, you've seen it with, and I'm not going to name names, but you see it with guys in this league who have all the physical talent but don't have the other things that go along with it. And if they don't, generally their teams do this.
Mm-hmm.
They don't do this.
Non-quarterback questions. Vontae Davis signed just earlier this week. Tell us about him and the timing of his signing, how that might work to the rest of your, you know, the way you play out the rest of the free agency period here.
Yeah, you know, sometimes it happens where guys, you know, get out there and get released from a team before free agency hits. And, you know, that was a need of ours, you know, right now with all the free agents, E.J. Gaines and Charisse and those guys. We didn't have a lot of depth opposite Trey. So when Vontae came out there, we did our research and decided he was a guy we wanted to bring in. And he and his agent set, you know, a list of teams that they wanted to visit. He came up. I believe we were the first team, if I remember correctly. And we had a great visit, and it went well. But we said, hey, go on your magical mystery tour.
Yeah.
And then when you get done, call us, and we'll see if we can work something out. If you want to be here, it's, again, it's him interviewing us as much as us interviewing. If he doesn't want to be here or he doesn't see the fit, it makes no sense to do it. And so we're excited to have Vontae. You know, he's been a number one corner in this league for a while. He had the injury setback this year, but we're looking to bring, you know, he's been in this league 9 years, to bring his experience, you know, and help Trey, and we got some experience of safety with Micah and Jordan.
In terms of free agency, is there something in being the first team that a guy might visit? Is there something there, like that was the first team that he came to for you guys, and for that free agent going to that team really wanted me. They brought me in first.
Sometimes it is. Sometimes it's just a matter of logistics, like the agent's trying to work it out.
Right.
And because I do know he went to the West Coast and hit a couple teams out there. So I think on this one, it was more logistically than anything, but at the end of the day, it worked out for us and for Vontae, and hopefully he has a great year for us.
So some of your own free agents are going to be free agents in a couple of weeks. Preston Brown, mm-hmm. He's mentioned that you've already reached out and talked to him a little bit.
Yep.
Are you confident you can bring him back, or where are you with Preston, do you think?
Well, I never want to state where we are confident-wise until I see that ink writing on, you know, with a signature,
yeah,
because
yeah.
I've seen guys that I've honestly thought this deal is done, and then a last minute – I just mentioned all it takes is one team. And, you know, our job is to put the value where we see, look at the market. It's like pricing houses. And where do you see his value fit in the rank of the market? Can you pay that? You know, how do you allocate your resources? And, you know, Preston did a great job, you know, this past season, really bought in, did some really good things on the field. You know, I think he led the league in tackles. He, you know, and we like him. We'd love to have him back. You know, it's a two-way street. You know, he and his agent, they've hit free agency. They have the right to see what's out there. And, again, we have to see what our value is on compared to what somebody else sees him. And hopefully we can work something out.
How much, if any, dialogue have you had with Kyle Williams or his representatives?
Yeah, we've had it. You know, I had a long conversation with Kyle after the season. He got in his truck pretty quickly and headed to Louisiana.
Yeah.
But we had a good conversation, and I have a lot of respect for Kyle. And I told him, you know, the time frame that we would try to get something out to him, which, you know, we've communicated with him. And I think, you know, again, he's a free agent. He wants to do his due diligence. I respect that. Hopefully, you know, we can get him back. That's my goal. But, again, it takes two to tango. Yeah. So we'll see what happens.
Last question I have for you, Brandon. The draft, you have 5 picks in the first three rounds. That's a lot.
Yeah.
You plan on using those 5, or are you looking to use them to move up and maybe get one guy? What's your approach with all of that capital to spend in the draft this year?
Well, I like the depth in the draft, and, you know, especially early on in those rounds, I'm excited to have 5 picks.
Yeah.
And so I'm not going in right now as I sit here saying we've got to move up or we've got to move back. I'm excited about having 21 and 22. I mean, anybody would love to have 1 and 2 if you have 2 picks around, but you had to, you know, you had to go through a lot of, you know, heat during the year to
right,
do that.
Right.
And I'm excited that we're at 21 and 22 because it showed we made the playoffs, and that was big for our city and for our team and the culture that Sean and I are building. So I have no intent to move up or down. We're focused on right now who we think we could get, you know, at that value, but it's still a ways away of figuring out the board because we get the medical here. Nobody talks about the medical, but that's
right.
The most important thing about the combine.
Yep.
There will be guys. It happens every year. It crushes you. You got
a
crush on. You got crush on a couple guys, and your doc say, "Hey, you cannot draft this guy. He is not going to make it."
That happened to me.
I know. It happened to him.
It's awful. It's, yeah. And it's that's the hard part because sometimes a lot of times you know. you have an idea the guy's been beat up, you look at his history, but there are always a few haymakers that, man, I never never saw this coming, and you know, we got a second round grade and thought maybe we were going to be able to steal this guy, and now he's off our board.
That's tough. Hey, thanks for this, Brandon.
Yes, sir.
Have a
great
week. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Tom.
Brandon Bean is the Bills general manager, joining us at the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis. The John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts on Buffalo Bills Radio.